VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, there is much unfolding in short order across this country. We're going to get to many of those topics in just a moment. But first, many of you have likely heard that a good friend of this ministry went home to be with the Lord over the weekend, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, an avid student and teacher of Bible prophecy, passed from this life into the presence of his Savior early yesterday morning. He has spoken at VCY rallies. His courses are right now online in our VCY Bible Institute, vcybible.org. His daily radio program, Prophecy Today, has been airing here on the network. And as many of you have heard, Jimmy DeYoung Jr. will be picking up this broadcast mantle. But while he is sorely going to be missed by this network and by many, many listeners, we're joyful to know that he is with the Lord, and we will see him again at a future time. Well, friends, we continue to monitor so much that is hitting us as a nation and world events. We see the unraveling in Afghanistan. We see also the unraveling of our nation on domestic issues. Joining us with a firsthand look at what's unfolding in Washington, D.C., we welcome in our studio today Congressman Glenn Grothman. He represents Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District, presently serving in his fourth term, sits on the House Committee on Education and Labor, the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, where he serves as ranking member of the Subcommittee on National Security, and the House Committee on the Budget. Congressman Grothman, good to have you here.
Glad to be on the show, as always.
Well, good to have you with us here today, and we're going to begin our conversation about Afghanistan. We've been there, our troops have been there for some 20 years. I'm going to play just a brief clip of compiled comments from President Biden that he made just last month, and we'll hear what he had to say about how secure and how on top of it the military forces were in Afghanistan. Then we'll get your comment. Here's President Biden just last month.
Is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not. Because you have the Afghan troops have 300,000 well-equipped as any army in the world, and an air force, against something like 75,000 Taliban. It is not inevitable.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true.
Is it? Can you please clarify what they have told you about whether that will happen or not?
That is not true. They did not reach that conclusion.
So what is the level of confidence that they have that it will not collapse?
The Afghan government and leadership has to come together. They clearly have the capacity to sustain the government in place.
And do you see any parallels between this withdrawal and what happened in Vietnam with some people feeling...
None whatsoever. Zero. What you had is you had entire brigades breaking through the gates of our embassy. 6, if I'm not mistaken. The Taliban is not the North Vietnamese army. They're not remotely comparable in terms of capability. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy of the United States from Afghanistan. It is not at all comfortable. So the question now is, where do they go from here? That the jury is still out. But the likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely.
Congressman Grothman.
Well, you have to ask yourself what went wrong. On the subcommittee that I'm at, we had several hearings on Afghanistan before. I had had a soldier work for me for a while. He told me we're hated in Afghanistan, and I felt there would be, you know, a collapse soon after we left. Although we heard from perhaps some of the same experts as President Biden, and the experts, and this is something you have to know in my job or know in life, the experts frequently don't know what they're talking about. And the experts had assured Congress, and I'm sure they assured President Biden, that the Afghan army would be able to hold out at least 3 or 4 years after we left. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why this failure? How could the United States spend so many billions of dollars, had so many tens of thousands of people over there at different times, and yet there was no desire on the part of the Afghan people, or not enough of a desire, to fight to keep the Taliban out. And I attribute the blame to the educated classes in our country who don't know why we have a great country. I mean, you would figure after 20 years, the average person in Afghanistan, I'm not saying a lot didn't, but the average person in Afghanistan would say, I want a Western country. I want to live in a country like the United States based on those principles, including Christian principles. But no, after 20 years, the army apparently is collapsing, and the people will wind up back governed by a Taliban-run sort of state. And I think it comes down to our inability to educate our own people as to why America is a great country to be followed. And unless our people know that, they aren't going to be able to put those values on the people in Afghanistan. So that's where I attribute the blame. You know, the fact that even though a soldier who wound up coming back and working as a driver for me understood exactly that we were not making progress in Afghanistan, why all these overeducated people the United States government hires are not able to instill any American values over there is a good question.
You know, we saw the Taliban now has seized U.S. Black Hawk helicopters, tons of American military pieces of equipment funded by our tax dollars, weapons of all types, now in the hands of the Taliban, as the Afghan military there has just collapsed like dominoes. That should be a concern to all of us.
Well, right. The important thing in any war, you know, you eventually lose when you lose the will to fight. And sometimes you lose that will because the opponents have, you know, overwhelming armaments, mm-hmm. overwhelming numbers. It seems as though we had overwhelming armaments and still lost. And the reason they lost is I think the Afghan army didn't see anything worth fighting for. And in the new Afghan government, and we have to ask ourselves why did the people who worked for the State Department, for the American military, what have you, why were they not able to show the Afghan people that we had a superior sort of government, a superior way of running things? And my guess is because, quite frankly, a lot of the people working for the United States maybe didn't know that we have a superior way of running things. That's my guess.
Yeah, just one last issue here, and I saw how tragic it was to see the footage of people in Afghanistan desperate, trying to clutch onto a U.S. Air Force plane that's going down the runway ready to take off, hoping somehow to escape from Afghanistan, escape from what they know is coming.
Well, right. Very tragic. My office has already received calls about people in Afghanistan. Some of these people acted as interpreters for American troops. The American troops then turn around and call me and say, what can I do to get these interpreters out? Mm-hmm. Obviously, we are going to get out people that we can. The situation is very fluid on the ground. We knew that we were going to have to get these folks out even, say, a month ago, and I was involved with Congressman Lynch in trying to prepare if the worst would happen. But even the worst there, the worst which did happen was even worse than anything we dreamed of. Mm. But I'm sure that some of those folks will be getting out, and hopefully the American troops will be able to rescue most of them.
Congressman Glenn Grothman with us here today on Crosstalk. Let's talk about our own borders for a moment. You have visited the border. You've been sounding the alarm on what's taking place there. We've seen some shocking numbers coming forth here, reported as to the number of those illegally crossing our border. Open our eyes. What's taking place at our borders in the U.S.? We're not being told the story by the mainstream media.
Well, I think it's the biggest problem we have in our country. No country can exist if unlimited number of people can just stream across a border and come to that country. Mm-hmm. I've been to that border four times this year, and I can tell you things just keep getting worse. We last week got most of the numbers that will be necessary from the Biden administration to determine how many people came in this country and stayed here in the month of July. I believe that was about 105,000. By comparison, about 15 months ago, about 6,000 people were crossing the border. So when you go from 6,000 to 115,000, you know that we have a huge disaster there and people are not doing a very good job. I want to emphasize that people are coming here from all over the world. I was down there about 3 months ago. We ran across about 45 people crossing the border. Where were these people from? gypsies from Romania, Russia, and Cuba. I think most people wouldn't guess any one of those three countries. A lot of people coming from Brazil, a lot from Ecuador, a lot from Haiti. Although last time I was there, the brunt were coming from Central America. But the point I'm trying to make is this isn't a matter of the United States just has to improve the material condition in a couple of countries. People are coming here from all around the world. I have yet to see them, but I'm told it's not unusual to have a lot of people coming here from China, for example. The gangs make money on all these people coming across. We're told they help someone from Mexico get here for $3,000 to $4,000, from Central America about $5,000, from Brazil maybe $10,000, and to come here from Southeast Asia maybe $20,000 a person. So a lot more money being made by the Mexican drug cartels, and they allow people to come here in a very brutal fashion. You know, if you're coming across the Rio Grande and they've got the boat and the American Border Patrol approaches you, they think nothing of throwing a 3 or 4 year old child in the Rio Grande River. Mm. Why do they do that? They know that our Border Patrol, being humanitarian, Christian, will make sure that that 3 or 4 year old is saved, and they will devote effort to that, and then they'll be able to get across the river with either the people are smuggling across or drugs that are smuggling across. So very bad situation. A lot of other horrible stories. Apparently not long before I was down there, somebody didn't want to pay their money. Boom, they just killed him on site, a guy from Ecuador. Last year, about 100 people dehydrated to death in the Arizona desert. Americans, knowing this, try to put gallons of water out there, but it's a big desert, and they can't save everybody. So a very horrible situation. A lot of kids coming across without their parents. The parents write an address they want the kids to show up at, maybe an aunt or uncle's. That address appears on their underwear, whatever, shirt. And we wind up paying to get them to their relatives, even if their relatives are not here legally. And I'm sure on the plane that I took out of Texas, must have been 15 to 20 immigrants here illegally on that flight. A lot of them don't have any ID. Without an ID, we can't do a background check. So you think when you and I get on a plane, we always have to show our ID. These people coming across, no ID. We have no idea what sort of crimes they've committed in the United States in the past. But that doesn't deter us. We'll give them the plane trip, free plane trip, wherever they want. Not doing a very good job in checking on COVID. COVID-positive people are held in motels, but they can't guard those motels, so they're coming across. So on the one hand, we have an administration who says the COVID is so bad we might have to go door-to-door to encourage people to get vaccinated. On the other hand, people coming here, even if they have the outright COVID, are, as a practical matter, allowed in the country. So any way I look at it, a big disaster. It, of course, feeds the drug abuse problem as well. You know, when I got this job about 7 years ago, about 45,000 Americans a year were dying of drug overdoses. We thought that was bad. We recently hit 90,000 Americans dying per year. Now, I think a lot of that is people don't have enough to live for, but it's an underpublicized story, and we should talk a lot more about that 90,000 Americans dying.
We're going to take a quick break. Congressman Glenn Grothman with us here today, represents Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District at the House of Representatives. We'll have more discussion on what's on their plate here in the days coming. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can you use ordinary things as a witness for creation?
You certainly can, Chris. In fact, you can use an automobile or an airplane or a radio station or most design systems to witness to the design in creation. If a radio station needs a designer, then certainly things much more complicated, like life, need a designer. If you know anything about geology, you can use the road cuts through mountains to witness the Noah's flood. You can see the strata, obviously laid down by moving water, and point out that these strata typically go for miles in every direction, maybe thousands of miles, speaking eloquently of widespread deposition due to water action. Yes, indeed, Chris. Creation and the flood are clearly seen from evidence all around us, and we can use them to witness to that back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, talking about critical issues impacting our nation. Congressman Glenn Grothman is in studio today with us. Represents Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District and serving on a number of committees, one of which he is a ranking member on the Subcommittee on National Security. Also sits on the House Committee on the Budget. We'll be talking about the budget coming forth here as well. Representative, we were just talking about the border issues, and I think it's important to point out things were pretty well under control as the administration changed over.
Well, right. President Trump had reached agreements both with Mexico and the Central American countries, with Mexico to hold immigrants on their side of the border pending asylum hearings, and with Central American countries agreeing to hold people from Mexico who are coming up from Venezuela, Colombia, what have you. And President Biden, for whatever reason, didn't want to abide by these agreements. He went back to the old-fashioned way of doing things where people are allowed in the United States pending a hearing, which may be years in advance they never show up for. So, you know, and I don't mean to be partisan on this show, but President Biden changed the rules that we play by from rules that had us under 20,000 and sometimes as low as 6,000 people being let into the country, mm-hmm. over 100,000 a month being let in the country. I think it's the biggest crisis facing America. We know John Adams told us that our country was designed for a moral and religious people and not fit for any other kind. We have no idea who's coming across that border. Like I said, we have no idea what their criminal situation was in their home country. Many of them do not have IDs, but even those with IDs we are frequently catching have horrific criminal records in this country, so we know criminals are trying to get in here. And I'm just afraid that if we do not have a moral and religious group coming in as our new set of immigrants, we're going to lose the Christian nature of America.
Earlier, when we were talking about what's going on in Afghanistan, you talked about the people not really having an understanding of the morals and values of that which makes a country great, and the respect for being a republic and the freedoms that we have. There is another movement to undo that in our country too that you've been fighting against. It's called critical race theory. Tell us a little bit as to why you've been engaged in this battle, fighting against critical race theory.
Well, I am on the education committee, and you know some of this is coming through the local school districts, but there are threats by President Biden to say if you want federal funds, you're going to have to teach critical race theory. Mm-hmm. Critical race theory is a divisive ideology which says that your lot in life is determined by your race in America. In other words, if you have, and there are many more important things than material things, but if you have a nice house, that's because you're white. If you wind up in jail, that is because you are not white. And by doing this, you're trying to divide America by ethnic backgrounds. Frequently, other countries do not succeed because there are all sorts, there's constant ethnic strife. That's one of the problems they have in Afghanistan, quite frankly. But it was also a problem in countries like Iraq, Somalia, India, what have you. We don't need that sort of thing here. It is obvious in America that people from all over the world are welcomed and do well. In my district, in Wisconsin, I happen to have a lot of Hmong. So your listeners know Hmong are people who helped the United States during the Vietnam War and lived primarily in Laos. They come here not knowing the English language, not knowing the American culture, but nevertheless, they have succeeded wildly. You know, I know a guy who's a police officer in Milwaukee. He was in a Thai refugee camp at age 5. He couldn't believe he'd have a nice American house in his lifetime, but he did. All he had to do was come here and work hard. So whether you're talking about people from Laos, with the Philippines, Korea, the Middle East, Iran, South America, anywhere you think, people are coming here and succeeding. The idea that you cannot succeed in America because of where your great-great-great-great-grandparents were born is a lie, and I think it is only thrown out there to try to divide Americans and tell them they ought to walk around with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
It is horrific that anybody is teaching it, but the idea that this is getting in the public schools is horrible. I'll give you an example. I talked to a school board member, and she saw in instructions recommended by some designer of curriculum that the children in sixth grade all bring a picture of where they lived to school. Now, why would you do that? Under critical race theory, you want to get people mad if they don't live in nice a house or a house at all compared to their classmates. Maybe you want to get black children mad if they're living in an apartment and not a house. And you want to tell everybody this is because America is racist. The idea that they are trying to instill these values in the youngest children is ridiculous, and it goes a lot younger than age six. You've got to be on the ball in monitoring your local school district. But, of course, there are a lot of school districts without a lot of conservative parents, and they are going to be raising children to walk around with a chip on their shoulder and to think America's a bad country. And like I said, all you got to do is look at the new people coming here. I have attended ceremonies in which we have swearing-ins of new Americans. I think 2 years ago we had 830,000 new Americans. They'd been here like 5 or 6 years. They were all, you know, clean-cut, from all around the world, succeeding, doing well. All races, all backgrounds, all religions, all everybody happy to be here. The lie, the fact that we have school systems lying and telling children they can't succeed here and they ought to be angry at America is just horrible. But I'll guarantee you, I think those children raised in critical race theory schools are not going to do as well as life, because they are not going to have a high opinion of America, and a lot of them are, quite frankly, being taught, why try to succeed in America? You cannot succeed in America. Horrible that this has gotten in our schools.
We're going to hit a number of issues that are coming before you at the U.S. Capitol here even next week. We know there's a lot of matters unfolding there. Right now, you're on an August recess, but understand that Speaker Pelosi has called people back in next week for some votes on some matters like infrastructure legislation as well as a budget. I'd like to, first of all, talk about this infrastructure legislation. A movement has really been picking up with this over on the Senate side when you had a number of Republican senators decided to jump on the other side of the aisle to pass the legislation. Comment, if you would, on this infrastructure legislation. You know the full House could be voting on this legislation next week. What can you tell us about it?
Well, I think one thing to point out is the Federal Reserve will be printing more money. You know, one of the jobs of the government, I guess I'll say, is to maintain a solid currency, which is the basis of a strong economy. We have another bill, and there have been so many bills like this that have passed in the last year and a half. We have another bill that, as a practical matter, is going to require the Federal Reserve to print more money, which results in more inflation, lack of confidence in our economic system. I don't care whether you're talking about the cost of housing, the cost of cars, the cost of oil, cost of food. Everything has gone up the last 5 months, and it hasn't gone up for 5 months in a vacuum. It went up because the U.S. Congress and the Federal Reserve have decided to print more dollars. Our system relies on people believing they can live the American dream. You know, if the cost of housing is skyrocketing up like it has the last 6 months, how many young people are going to be able to afford that American dream? It's another way to undermine the great things we have in America to continue to inflate the money supply. And that's my major concern with this bill. I know it's always easy to vote for any spending bill because there are always lobbyists who are running around the office saying, you know, we need more money for this and need more money for that. In some cases, it's true, but they don't need $1.2 trillion right now, and they sure don't need $1.2 trillion if a lot of that money is going to be printed by the Federal Reserve, particularly at a time when our regular budget is also going through in Washington, and again we have lines up 15, 20, 25, 50% there.
As we take a look at infrastructure, just again pointing out that just a small portion of this is actually dealing with roads and bridges, but there's a social agenda behind this as well, elements of the Green New Deal that are put into this aspect as well, that somehow compromised legislation came about to now have to put it on the plate of the U.S. House.
Well, that's true. Normally, when I think of infrastructure, I think that's another way of saying roads and bridges, yeah. Right?
But they're talking now human infrastructure, right, and social, right, programs.
Right. So many other things are in there, and actually in the additional money being added, in addition to money for the normal transportation budget, it looks to me about a fifth of that amount of money is going for roads and bridges. I would think an expectation should be more in the line of 70 or 75%. So they're kind of misleading the American public is what's in this bill as well.
On the heels of this is also coming a vote passed by the Senate, some $3.5 trillion additional legislation, the budget bill coming forth, something that we understand Speaker Pelosi was demanding that if we're going to vote on infrastructure, we must also have this accompanied by this massive budget bill, a very concerning bill. The social aspect of this is quite alarming, not to mention the price tags that come with it as well.
Well, right. One more time, we're putting the stress on the value of the dollar. But when you have government grow, you are kind of changing its role in American life. And some of these things, I don't think the Republicans have done a good job of pointing out. Obviously, education is not the role of the federal government under our U.S. Constitution. But I notice here that they expect the federal government to pay for some preschool for all 3- and 4-year-olds. Now, when I went to school, you know, you were expected to have the government begin to care for you for maybe a half day when you were age 5. It looks like in one swoop, the Biden administration would like to have the government take care of the 3- and 4-year-olds. I personally think America was designed to have families take care of their own children. I know, depending on their financial situation, for some parents this means daycare. For some parents, maybe it means grandma and grandpa taking care of the children. Some have mom stay at home, whatever. But it looks as though they want a dramatic change in the role of government, and they want the government to take care of the 3- or 4-year-olds. It costs money, but that's not even my major complaint. My major complaint is it seems to be part of this Democrat agenda where we want the family less and less involved in raising the kids and kind of have the kids raised by the government overall. And, of course, I can only assume that part of that is they want the government to be instilling the values in the kids, not the parents.
Hmm. Yeah, and tragically, yes. So we also seeing provisions in this for a couple years of community college and other aspects,
yes,
as well.
But let me address that, too. Right now, and when they talk about community college on a national level, some states, such as Wisconsin, would call that technical school or trade school or what have you. When you begin to give away college and you're not paying anything for it, I don't think you respect it. And it'll change the way those community colleges operate. When you have people showing up paying no tuition, they can just kind of show up and not care at all, feel they have no skin in the game, and the colleges will not be as effective. I think this is a lack of understanding of human nature, which, not to be critical here, but the Democrats seem to not understand human nature. And when you begin to say, after you got your free high school and graduated age 18, at age 19 or 20, you continue to get free school, I think a lot of people are not going to appreciate that. They're not going to bear down. They're not going to do as well. And it'll change the environment at the community colleges. Not to mention, of course, it's more expensive. I think the Democrats always want to see more government employees. And because it's free, they're going to get more people going to the community college, which is more professors or more people hired there.
We're going to take a quick break, come back for just a little bit more discussion here before we open our phone lines. And we're going to be taking a look as well as this budget coming forth. What does this do with the Hyde Amendment? What is this going to deal with the protection of human life? Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Having to prove the existence of God to an atheist is like having to prove the existence of the sun at noon on a clear day. Yet millions are embracing the foolishness of atheism. Now from Ray Comfort comes The Atheist Delusion. This 60-minute DVD pulls back the curtain and reveals what is going on in the mind of those who deny the obvious. It introduces you to a number of atheists who you'll follow as they go where the evidence leads, find a roadblock, and enter into a place of honesty that is rarely seen on film. You'll hear the compelling questions that cause them to doubt their atheism. You can obtain one copy of The Atheist Delusion for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, critical issues impacting the nation. With us today, Congressman Glenn Grothman. He is serving the people of the 6th Congressional District in the state of Wisconsin, presently on his fourth term, and talking about a number of issues that are before us. The House being called back in by Speaker Pelosi, going to be voting on some issues, it appears, like infrastructure next week, possibly the budget bill legislation as well. We will give you a number. I'll have a number here for you for the House switchboard number where you can convey your thoughts to your member of Congress. But one of the issues that we've been watching for some time is the matter of the Hyde Amendment. We have seen this pass year after year to protect our tax dollars from going to pay for the for abortions here. But I understand the Hyde Amendment has been coming under attack. Could you comment on this issue? And is that part of this budget that's coming before the House?
Well, I think the Democrats would love to get rid of the Hyde Amendment and say that they could go back and paying for abortions. But it's part of a larger agenda that the Democrats have. President Biden has already changed the rules, saying that the federal government can again give money to organizations that perform abortions, not pay for the abortions, but organizations that perform abortions abroad. They have changed the rules saying that the federal government can give money to organizations that refer people for abortions. So this entire promiscuity, pro-abortion worldview is going to be subsidized not only in the United States, but in countries abroad. I mean, you think of all God has given us in this country. I can't think of a place or time in history that you would rather live than America, except for the moral decline here. America right now, we are so blessed. And to take those blessings and turn around and say we are going to use our government to push the pro-abortion, pro-promiscuity lifestyle of Planned Parenthood is appalling. And I don't think people, when they vote, did enough to think that through. I think when you vote for president, you don't primarily think of those issues. But if you think of all the millions or billions of dollars flowing, not only hundreds of millions, not only flowing to Planned Parenthood in this country, but to organizations abroad in which the good reputation of the United States is used to push these organizations, it is scary how we, quite frankly, have repaid God for all the blessings we've been given. And I don't think they're going to be able to get rid of the Hyde Amendment. They're going to try to. I do think, though, President Biden has succeeded in these other areas. I think Planned Parenthood, with their ideology, is going to get a lot more money, or their brothers and sisters get a lot more money, not only to push their agenda in this country, but push their agenda abroad. And that's not what the United States ought to be pushing on the rest of the world.
Congressman Glenn Grothman with us here today on Crosstalk. This past Friday, we saw a memo go out, actually a bulletin from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, their National Terrorism Advisory System, talking about the giving a summary of terrorism threat to the U.S. homeland. It was issued August 13th it's going to expire on November the 11th. And talking about potential terror threats, they talk about opposition, those who have opposition to COVID measures, claims of election fraud, belief that Trump could be reinstated, and other issues there as well. I asked you about your town halls. You've been holding town hall meetings here across your district as you're on August recess here. And one of the issues you have mentioned that people have come to your sessions, they're concerned about vaccine mandates. And as I look also from this, from the Department of Homeland Security, they're talking about potential terror threats of those of opposition to COVID measures.
Well, as I said, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, but obviously there are a lot of very good people you can find on the internet who have gone through a lot of thinking before they've decided that they would rather deal with the COVID threat in a way other than getting the vaccine. And, you know, America is a people of tremendous diverse opinions. I can't think of anybody who's talked to me more thoughtful than particularly the nurses of these hospitals who would rather try to ward off the COVID with other measures, or they already got it and have the natural immunity, to make it the norm that we can force somebody to take a vaccine in this country is quite frankly appalling. Obviously, that's what they're trying to do in Washington. And it bothers me a great deal, and I have all the sympathy in the world. I've signed on to bills to try to prevent this, but I don't think, given who's in the White House, any bills like that are going to pass. And I just remind employers to have sympathy with their employees, particularly their employees in hospitals, who really did put them risk themselves online, or risk themselves this time last year by working through the COVID, and they're repaid this year by saying you have to have the vaccine, even though your personal research has shown that it's not appropriate for you, which I really think is offensive. And I think there's a certain amount of arrogance among these employers thinking that they can stand in. I'll tell you this. If I had to talk to people about what is medically right and wrong, I would talk to the average nurse in America more than I talk to the average hospital administrator. Hmm. So I side with the nurses on this one overwhelmingly.
Congressman Glenn Grothman with us here today on Crosstalk. We're going to open phone lines and certainly talking about these critical issues impacting the nation. And if you have questions you'd like to ask or brief comments as it relates to such things as our border, such as the infrastructure legislation, such as the coming budget bill, Hyde Amendment, and related issues, our phone number here, 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. That's our call-in number here today. Just a reminder, as your member of Congress is going to be voting on these issues like infrastructure and the budget bill coming up here as soon as next week, you need to contact them with your sentiments. If you don't have your direct number to your House member, you can use the main switchboard at the House, which is 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. To get specific numbers for your House member, you can go to house.gov and find it there, house.gov, or go to your you'll find your congressman's page there, and you'll find their D.C. number as well as district numbers as well. And one other aspect we'd like to encourage you, and that is to be praying for your member of Congress, how critical it is. And I know we just held a day of prayer this past Saturday at Trail Ridge Camp, and one of the items on our docket there was praying for our leaders here, political leaders here across this land. And I'm sure it gives you a shot in the arm, Congressman, when somebody tells you they're praying for you.
Absolutely. It always makes me feel much better. And we have to pray for America. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we're in this situation, I think, because there's been a moral freefall. If I had any good news out there, as you mentioned, we're on an August recess. And during recess, like many congressmen, I like to run around to my county fairs or ethnic fairs, what have you. And last week I was at a fair called the Alto Fair. There were, I think, three different booths set up from Bible-believing churches looking to attract more members. And it always makes me feel good when I see these Bible-believing churches growing because if we have more Christians, more people leading godly lives, it's going to improve America as well. And that really is our biggest problem. If America, you know, John Adams said America is a country built for a moral and religious people. Mm-hmm. And if we cease being a moral and religious people, we're going to elect the wrong people and we're going to encourage them to do the wrong things. If we have a moral and religious people, who wins these elections will take care of itself.
Our phone lines are packed. As soon as you hear somebody hang up with us, that's your opportunity to give us a call here for Crosstalk. Write down the number 800-733-9829. We've got John calling in from Tennessee. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Yeah, I hope I have 60 seconds. One, what's happening on a border is part of the Reconquista movement to take the Southwest. That in La Raza has been a big tool in making that happen, which, by the way, Justice Sotomayor was a member of till she assumed her seat on the bench.
John,
but here's another thing.
John, do you have a question for our guest today? For him to comment on.
Yeah, I'd like to know if he can submit a FOIA request to Homeland Security, which going back about 15 years, even under the Bush administration, they were fully aware of Mexican cartels operating on the hilltops of Arizona with night vision, infrared, and high-powered weapons. I forget the name of the Texas representative at the time, but he was calling for an investigation, and both parties, both the Demon Rats and the Republic Rats, refused to join in a bipartisan investigation to verify whether it was true or not true.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the border.
I can tell you this. I've been at the border four times this year, particularly when you get in the areas in which people are crossing in the desert, Arizona being a good example. Frequently, the Mexican drug cartels have better equipment than our Border Patrol.
Hmm.
And obviously, you know, that is an indication of the lack of seriousness that our government takes this crisis. We mentioned the regular budget. About the only agencies that the Biden administration is giving 1 or 2% to, as opposed to the frequent 15 to 20% in other agencies, is the Border Patrol. And we need more people at the border. I don't have to do an open records request. I can tell you, the Mexican drug cartels have spotters in these mountains. Frequently, they put people under the age of 18 because they know they're not going to get in trouble if they get arrested, up there reporting where our Border Patrol is. It's a disaster. I think we have to alert more Americans because politicians do like to get reelected. And right now, even though I talk about the border, you hear about it on this show, not enough politicians are hearing from their constituents. And as a result, the Biden administration can continue to allow matters to only get worse and think they are politically bulletproof in doing so.
Thank you, John, for the call. Tom is our next caller. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Congressman Grossman. I have a question for you in regards to the Afghan Defense Force. They have assassinated many American trainers over the years. Now, miraculously, 300,000 of them stand down after $100 billion has been spent. Do you believe we've been had? Because I certainly do. I don't think they ever intended on fighting anything. They will simply become Taliban now.
Thank you, Tom.
Well, like I said, I think the Americans in charge of teaching people an American way of life were pathetic. I would bet they don't know why America is a great country, so it's not surprising that they can't educate the Afghans on having a Western-style nation. I think also they had kind of looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. I don't think they realized what a dramatic change it was for these people, and I don't think they realized that Afghan itself really is not a unified country. You know, it's a tribal country. It's not like France or Cuba or somewhere. There's no really pride in being an Afghan, and I think that's why things fell apart. It was just a tremendous miscalculation, and I hope we finally look at firing some of the people who give us this horrible information. And they testified before committee I'm on. These screwballs, they said we have another 3 or 4 years. Well, we had, guess what, 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do think a given number of Afghans, like I said, they had no pride in being a member of the Afghan military in the first place. And for the first thing you have to do with an army is you have to teach people why they are fighting. I'm not sure we're even doing a good enough job right now with our own troops about that. But right now, too many people in the American intellectual classes, which determine our curriculum, don't know why America is a great country in the first place.
Thank you, Tom, for the call. We're up against a break. We have some lines available here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Congressman Glenn Grothman is our guest. We'll take more calls after the break here on Crosstalk. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On Sunday, August 15th, 2021, my friend and broadcast partner, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung of Prophecy Today, went home to be with the Lord. It was a quick sickness, just a matter of days. In fact, 2 weeks to the day that he died, he was preaching in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then he passed away after having complications from COVID. Dr. DeYoung has a long global ministry. From Day of Discovery to his own ministry, Prophecy Today, he reached untold millions. His greatest love was teaching the Bible, the Word of God, and he did it faithfully and consistently. His helpmate, Judy, his wife of 60-plus years, was by his side, and they traveled literally all over the world together. His children walk with the Lord and continue his ministry. What a great heritage. The Bible says a special blessing comes with those who seek to understand prophecy. I believe today Jimmy DeYoung is receiving his blessed reward. Just a reminder, critical issues coming before your member of the House of Representatives as they're being called back in by Speaker Pelosi for voting on things like infrastructure this next week, as well as this $3.5 or so trillion budget bill filled with socialistic ideas from Senator Bernie Sanders. So much that's packed in this thing. You can contact your member of Congress at 202-225-3121. Right back to the phone lines. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, based on things like the border crisis, the recent Afghanistan debacle, and excessive fiducial irresponsibility, in your opinion, do you feel Joe Biden is unpresidential? Personally, I feel he has failed his oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States.
It's hard to imagine he wants a strong United States 10 years from now. We cannot have that if we're going to let everybody under the sun cross the border, which he's trying to do. We can't do that if we destroy the value of the dollar. We can't do that if we are telling our little children that America is a horrible, racist country. And those are just three examples of things that it's hard to square with the way any normal person would approach this job. I mean, it's just, he's doing a horrific job. And so if an enemy of the United States took over this country, I think printing unlimited amounts of money, telling young children America's a horrible racist nation, and opening up our borders, I think are three things that I would do if I was trying to destroy America.
Wow, wow. Thank you, Mark, for the call. Bill is next. You're on the air, Bill.
Yes, Senator Grossman, I really appreciate your intestinal fortitude for coming on to VCY America. And I have a question in regards to the midterm election coming up. Do you feel the Democrats maybe got the rock lifted up from them, and they're starting to squirm, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I've heard of people who I think regret voting for President Biden. Hard thing to say that. But I don't think we've done a good enough job so far. In part, we have a national media that is covering for some of the bad things that have been done. And I think a few people are waking up. But I think President Biden's popularity, the last time I looked, is still over 50%, which means either a lot of people are completely, utterly lacking common sense, or they don't realize the things he's been doing.
Or the polls are lying.
Right.
Houston in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'd just like to say this, about the border. This isn't about COVID, obviously, all these draconian lockdowns and things that are going on, because you have millions of people flooding in our borders that I've heard 20% of them have COVID, and they don't seem to be concerned about that. And I'd also like to direct people to what's going on in Australia right now, and it's absolute insanity. Yeah. The lockdowns they have, they can't go 5 miles away from their houses. So This is coming to America, and we all need to wake up and do it now. So
thank you for the call here, Houston. I've seen even the videos coming from France, Congressman, no doubt you have as well, where there are officers going right up to people as they're eating in restaurants, asking them to show their vaccination card.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, and you're not 100% sure what the motivation for this is, but it's scary the degree to which people will voluntarily give up their freedoms. We're seeing it go on around the world. We have to make sure it doesn't happen here in the United States.
Let's see. John, our next caller, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. This is so refreshing. My question is, if you lock your house at night, if you lock your car, I don't know why, in God's green earth, these idiots don't secure our borders. We are the only country in the world that has this, where it's unbelievable. And the other thing is, when I look at certain media from outside the United States, other people are laughing at this place hysterically. I will shut up and listen for your answer. Thank you both for what you do. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, John.
Your caller raises something that concerns me a great deal. If we are so weak we cannot secure our southern border, are other countries like Iran or Russia or China going to test us? Because it feels like we feel that there's nothing worth fighting for. That is another concern that I think your caller was trying to get at. At the southern border, we have nothing to feel guilty about. 2 years ago, we swore in 830,000 new people in America, probably more than we had to, but 830,000. So why you would be letting in what is soon going to be more than a million new people, I think over the next 12 months, almost certainly well over a million new people in this country, in addition to the over 800,000 we're swearing in. I don't know, unless you want to fundamentally change this country. And why would you want to fundamentally change what I think is the greatest country in the history of the world?
We've got Eli calling in from Goodyear, Arizona. You're on the air, Eli.
Congressman, this is Eli. You know, I got two questions for you. One of them is, being that in Mexico, there's people coming in around through the, they can get in two ways. They can go around in the ocean, or they could just go right around through a different country, a different state, as far as him getting in our country. How do you expect for Hispanics getting $5 a day to work a 10-hour shift from sun up to sundown and want to stay in their country? Number two is, don't you agree that Afghan fighting in Afghan and teaching the troops why we're in there fighting would be for the simple fact that we're the most powerful country in the world and that we are given the right by God to do so.
I tell you what, we've got only a minute left in the program. You've given him a lot here to comment on, Congressman.
Well, I'll leave with something a little bit different. We have a crisis in this country, and that a lot of very successful people do not realize America is worth fighting for. And a lot of that, I think, comes from a lack of faith in God. But that is what we have to turn around. I'll call it Thunberg syndrome, after the little girl who was miserable until she decided to fight global warming. And we have a lot of, she had a spoiled Western European life. We have a lot of people today in America with a spoiled American life. And despite that, they seem to be miserable and looking to actually fight America and destroy America, just like the little girl who was unhappy until she found a green crusade to fight for in Europe. So this is something that our clergy have to look out for, and we have to look out for why so many successful Americans, materially successful, are right now fighting to tear down America. But thank you for having me on the show.
Congressman Glenn Grothman, our guest here today, and we apologize to other people on hold right now. We're not going to be able to get to more calls, but certainly be in contact with your congressman, 202-225-3121, and be praying for your member of Congress, your members of the Senate. Be praying for our nation. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.